WERQ FM HD3 Baltimore, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled,
and operated and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio One, its sponsors, or advertisers.
Feed up little cedar on a marble stand. Trying to find the ocean, looking everywhere. Hard times in the city, in a hard town.
And a good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Coach's Corner featuring TJ Smith, with yours truly, Coach Butch McAdams. And boy, we have another power-packed, informative, hard-hitting show for you. But before we get started, let's talk about the people who make this show possible, our great, great sponsors. And we start off with J&W Brown. That's a general contracting business. They are fully licensed to serve all of your home improvement needs. Now, they can improve renovations, both interior and exterior. Pick up the phone and dial this number, 410-728-5000. That's 410-728-5000, and you will certainly be satisfied with their work. Now, also, if you or someone else have a disease of alcoholism or drugs, then a step forward. They have provided residential treatment services and mental health and substance abuse treatment for over 20 years. Their goal, listen to this, is to return to our communities, men and women, who have hope and a future. Now, that number is 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001. And ask for Dr. Campbell. And Shooting for Peace, it's a grassroots nonprofit, and they use sports and current former pro athletes to teach life lessons to youth and their families. And they have a big event coming up. Stay tuned for that. And TJ Smith, how about our other dynamic and wonderful sponsor?
Yes, Briarcliff Apartments. For more than 50 years, Briarcliff has been the number one apartment community in Cockeysville. Known for having an extensive list of features, amenities, and community first, it's conveniently located near restaurants and shopping. Briarcliff communities include 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartment homes. Many of them have dens. You can call them at 410-316-1340 now to schedule a tour. That's 410-316-1340. And, of course, if you out there listening would like to be a sponsor and have us read your business on the air, you can contact us. Me at tjsmithmedia@gmail.com, or go to tjsmithmedia.com, where you can also hear replays of our show here under the Coach's Corner tab. Coach?
All right. And you can contact me at butchmcadams@yahoo.com. And folks, as you know, we are the fastest paced 1 hour show on radio. We waste no time with small talk. We get right into it. And let's give out the rundown, the first segment of the Coach's Corner featuring TJ Smith. And TJ, and probably Sean and most of our listeners, it was a bad day for Baltimore yesterday. And I'm not talking about something really serious, as we discussed.
So this was lighter, but it was still a bad day. Boy, the bombing of Baltimore's secondary. I mean, the Miami Dolphins accumulated their offense, listen to this, folks, over 500 total yards. And their quarterback threw 6 touchdowns and over 400 total yards. My question to you, TJ, as a Ravens fan, you were there. Who was playing defense?
Well, let me get finished pouring my drink before I have this conversation, because y'all ain't going to stress me out today. I know that these Raven fans in town have lost their mind. We got to pay Lamar Jackson $500 million guaranteed. We need to fire the whole coaching staff. We have to reset. It's week 2. It was not a good day yesterday. We watched Tyreek Hill is still running around in Harbor right now because he just had his way.
Speaking of that, last time I saw him, if you want to be totally honest, I saw somebody running up 95 towards D.C. It looked like him. I said, gosh, he's still running?
Yeah, he probably is still running. You got him running and Waddell running. I mean, look, if you saw the Ravens stat line, Lamar Jackson had a fantastic day. No turnovers, ran over 100 yards, got in the end zone on his feet, got in the end zone through the air. The Ravens as a team didn't have any turnovers, got to the quarterback a couple of times. At home with a 21-point lead going into the fourth quarter, there's no possible way that they lost to an inferior team who neutralized them last year defensively. So we solved that mystery where we're able to put up 38 points, and you lose in the last seconds of that game, but you saw that momentum shift. Look, it's week 2, so we can be thankful for that. And we're going to have to turn it around because we have the rest of the AFC East the next 2 weeks. And it's an AFC game. And it could be one of those games that comes into play when the playoff race starts to formulate. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have to make it up somehow. One of the games you might have had on your little calendar of we might not win this game. Well, now we need to win that game in order to stay on pace of wherever you thought. Ugly loss. But a lot of good things that you can take away from it as well on the offensive side of the ball. And
did I hear you say that they lost to an inferior team? I don't think you could call the Dolphins at this point an inferior team. Okay, now this is, as you stated, this is the second time they've defeated them. The Dolphins are much improved from last year. I mean, you can make the point that they have two of the best or two of the guys, meaning yards after the catch, as you talked about Hill and Waddle. And so I wouldn't say that the Dolphins are an inferior team. I think they're a comparable team. But not
inferior to the Ravens. And I wouldn't call them team with the Ravens. The Ravens should have beat them and should have beat them decisively at home yesterday. Absolutely no excuse for the loss. Period.
Okay, well, we're going to start the show off disagreeing as we do. Okay, but hey, it's a great example where you can have folks disagree without being disagreeable. But, I do not see the Ravens as a superior team to the Dolphins. I see them as a comparable team, okay? But as you stated, it's week 2, and so the season is so many more games. But it was a bad loss for several reasons quickly. Number one, it really indicates that they have problems in the secondary covering people. Okay, and I don't know how you fix that. You know, is Ed Reed going to walk through the door? Okay, so I don't know how you fix that. Secondly, you have to win those games at home because the Ravens are a playoff team, no question about that, barring major injury. They're a playoff team. But when you get to the playoffs, you want to have some home field advantage. You don't want to have to go to Buffalo in January or Kansas City in January. So let's see how they fix it. They've got, I believe, what, the New England Patriots coming up. And then after New England, they have Buffalo. So
that's right.
So those are two big tests. Let's see how they come back from that terrible loss. But as I said before, when you allow 6 touchdowns in one game and offense to accumulate close to 600 yards in a game, I don't think that's an easy or quick fix. But hey,
yeah,
we'll see.
Let's hope.
All right. Yeah. So that's item number one. Item number two, TJ.
Yeah. So we have to obviously get into the conversation about the latest postponement in the Mosby trial. That happened last week at a hearing, and it was pushed back all the way until March, late March of 2023. Ms. Mosby will be long gone out of office by then. And will people even be thinking about her at that point? Is it something that people are going to follow? The trial, of course, was initially scheduled for earlier this year, and it got postponed, and then it was scheduled for last week and got postponed again. And now it will be well after she's out of office. So I don't know. We'll hear from some of the callers. Will they still be as engaged now or then as they are now with that particular trial when it comes up?
I don't think so. You know what? I don't think so. And the delay, who does the delay benefit? I don't think it benefits anyone. Because, again, at the beginning of the year, she's going to be just a regular citizen. She's going to need a job, okay? And you don't want to have the possibility of a conviction hanging over your head to prevent you from getting a job, okay? Secondly, I don't think, and well, let me just speak for myself. I never wanted to see her go to jail, okay? I wanted her out of office because I think she abused her office. I felt she was incompetent and did not do a good job, and the citizens deserve better. But now that that's accomplished, when she lost a fair election, then, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but I think most people won't even be interested as much as if it were to happen in May. But now, my final word on this is I blame her people, because if you recall, the original trial date was May. They pushed it back. Okay? And so that's why when I hear that rhetoric about, well, she lost the election because the trial and the indictments were hanging. Well, that's on y'all.
Yeah,
that's on y'all. The election was what? July the 19th. Okay. Yeah. The original trial was in May. So, yeah. All right. Yeah. Item number three.
So I know some people are going to have some staunch disagreements with this. But if you paid attention to any of the national news, the governors of Florida and Texas have been performing some political stunts and taking illegal immigrants who are crossing the border and dropping them off in Democratic cities that are run by Democrat mayors. Chicago, Washington, D.C., the latest being Martha's Vineyard up in New England. And
excuse me, TJ. That's a pretty good drop off. Hey, if y'all listening, come to DC and drop the coach off to Martha's Vineyard.
Nice town to be dropped off in. However,
I'm curious what people's thoughts are. We know that Baltimore has been losing population down to about 575,000 people. We have a slew of vacant homes, and it doesn't seem like we're ever going to catch up in that regard. And we also know the work ethic of a lot of the people who come from South America or Mexico. When they come into the States, they come in and they do a lot of labor-type jobs, carpentry, et cetera. Now, of course, we have those jobs for our citizens and our residents, but should we be looking to have some of those immigrants brought here to Baltimore to help develop a new population center in Baltimore City and have them work to rebuild some of the vacant homes that we have that they can live in, and they do it at the wages that they have been doing some of the work already and aren't demanding maybe as much as some of the citizens are demanding that are leaving us in a place where we just have a lot of vacants on top of vacants in the city. Should we be
TJ, TJ, now you know you my main man. Okay. But I got to say, I'm almost tempted to say, is it in a bottle or a can? But I'm not going to say it because you're my man. Man, come on. You want to bring illegal immigrants, folks who just come over, no documentation, not paying taxes, to boost Baltimore's population?
But now we got to work on a pathway.
That's a low bar. Come on, I'm surprised at you.
You have to work on the pathway to citizenship. You have to have documents. You have to pay taxes. It's a process. We know that a lot of the folks that come, that immigrate to the United States, are hardworking people who send a lot of the money that they get back to their place of origin for their family members who can't leave.
But are they paying taxes on it? Okay.
We have to have them pay taxes and go through the normal processes. But should we, whether it's work visas at this point, and again, the pathway to citizenship, if that is the route that we want to take, could we benefit from some federal government money as a result?
No. I'm saying no to all of it. First of all, you have too many citizens in Baltimore City who look like you and I that need help, that need affordable housing, that needs jobs. We don't want to bring in someone who is illegal, meaning that they're not documented, to come in and take not one dime away from the people here who've paid taxes for years. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and I'm not saying that you're saying this, but this is what I'm hearing. Man, is it that bad that in order for the city to increase its population, they got to bring in folks from the border? That reminds me of years ago, the NAACP nationally, they were registering people in jail to vote or not to vote, but they were getting membership of people incarcerated. I'm saying that's a low bar, brother.
Aren't we a country of immigrants, Coach? Have we forgotten where we come from that quickly? Aren't we a country of immigrants?
We are a country of immigrants who have paid our dues and have documentation.
People who are in jail have the right to vote, by the way. They have the right to vote, and they should be afforded the right to vote.
But what about recruiting as they were doing? They're recruiting, and now that this was alleged and reported, that they were recruiting members who were incarcerated. And I'm saying nothing wrong with that. It is certainly, I'm not putting down people who were incarcerated because everyone needs a second chance. But I think it was a low bar on the NAACP's part, and I use that as an analogy. If the thinking is we're going to boost Baltimore's population by bringing in people coming across the border, come on, Baltimore, you can do better than that. No, I'm totally against that. T- totally against that. But let's see what the people have to say.
See what the people have to say on that particular thing. And the last thing we want to touch on briefly as well, see if people are surprised or not surprised. The Goucher poll with the Baltimore Banner released a statewide poll this morning that shows Westmore with 53% of the vote right now to Dan Cox's 31% and only 9% undecided. Anthony Brown and Mike Peruca have the exact same numbers. That's the attorney general's race. And then you have the other big statewide race for controller, which is Brooke Learman, the Baltimore delegate, versus Barry Glassman, the former Harford County executive. She leads in this poll 48% to 36%. I'm not surprised by any of the numbers personally. I expected Westmore to have a commanding lead, and he has just that.
Yeah, he's, you know what, it was a perfect tie for Westmore, meaning that for one reason or another, I still am trying to figure it out why the party got behind him, okay? But if you look at the party, the last three Democratic nominees for governor in the state of Maryland were African American, okay? Now, the other two ran against much stronger opponent. Westmore is running against, in my opinion, a very, very vulnerable and very weak opponent. And I tell you, you know, we had an old saying when I was coaching, there were certain teams and certain coaches, not only would I want to play them, I would send a bus for them to make sure they got to the gym safe and sound on time. I know the Democrats are sending a bus for Dan Cox because he is the perfect Republican candidate to run against in the state of Maryland. So not surprised by that. I still think folks need to ask questions of Westmore besides the obvious that I've stated to just clarify briefly, not a lot of time, but just clarify on what you meant by saying you were a native, and are you a Bronze Medal recipient? But more important than that, important than that, ask him, are you going to raise taxes? Because that's what got Larry Hogan in there in the first place. The last Democratic governor had so many damn taxes. Well, he had a rain tax. Okay, so, hey, folks, I know we're all excited about Westmore. You got people on the airways talking about pushing him over. And I respect that. I understand that. I want to see him win. But ask him the question, what are you going to do about the taxes?
Coach, I am more exhausted than the cornerback that's chasing Tyreek Hill. With you asking about Westmore and the Bronze Star, he never said it. It's been asked and answered.
He agreed to it.
And like Westmore said, he wears his junior college ring as opposed to his Hopkins ring, Rhodes Scholar ring, his military ring. He wears his junior college ring because that is where he got his foundation.
But why is that not a fair...
Said Baltimore is where this is where his roots, what molded him and made him into who he is today. And we have to respect that, and we can't take that away.
No. We can move forward. But I'm saying for me, and people can think what they, when you don't tell the truth or you don't straighten out a truth one time, why is it that I am forced to believe what you say down the road?
Just stuck on what people planted. Come up with some new, quote, untruths. If we come up with a pattern of new untruths,
you're slanting it for him, but that's okay. All right. But he, if I said T.J. Smith, former mayor of Baltimore, and you nod your head, What is that?
That's a totally different thing. You're not gonna put me in this because we ain't talking about me, Coach. So.
No. Well, all right. I'll flip it. Coach Butch McAdams, the former coach of the Mather High School, or the former coach of the University of the District of Columbia. Coach, welcome to the show. And as you're reading my resume, I'm nodding my head. What is that?
Well,
that's the same thing that happened. But okay. As you say,
it's an edited clip. That was an edited clip cutaway. We don't know how simultaneous that was because it was edited. So we'll leave it at that because we're not going to relate.
But the final thing is it a fair question or not, brother? To ask if it has not been asked about taxes.
That's a point of debate. What are your policies compared to this person? And both of them should be asked about it. If one says they are, one says they aren't, how are you going to make ends meet in the state from a budget standpoint? So, yes, they're absolutely fair questions.
All right, now, let's open the lines, folks. You know how we roll here. We want infrequent callers. We want first-time callers. And this is not open lines in terms of discuss what you want. You heard the rundown. The Ravens, we'll talk about it. The Goucher gubernatorial poll, we'll talk about it. The immigrant situation, as T.J. Smith had laid out, we'll talk about it. The delay of the Mosby trial of 2023, we'll talk about that. That's it. All right, 410-481-1010. Here is your opportunity to join us online. TJ, any final comments, and we'll see what we have.
I know a lot of people in Baltimore have a little bit of anxiety with the loss with the Ravens yesterday, but it's week two. And, you know, Lamar looked much better than he did last week in New York, right? The second half he took off and he kept on going where he left off from there. And hopefully the defensive adjustments, it looked like some communication errors. And I would be curious what the people think with this question. What do you think needs to happen? Are people thinking that somebody needs to be fired, or are there personnel changes that need to be made, or adjustments in defensive schemes? And, of course, the other topic.
Well, it's too early to fire someone. The Ravens, their organization, for the most part, they don't do that. But as I said, I think it's going to be a problem throughout the year. Now, to that extent, no. But it's going to be a problem. It is going to be a problem. And let's see how they scheme it up. Let's see how that happens. All right, people are lining up. Quick to the point, let's go to Theodore. Theodore, you're up.
Good afternoon. First, I'd like to give some information. On page 7 of Mr. Moore's book, he tells where he was born at in New York. And during the time when the Trump Station 45 was trying to make a deal about that, they could have read the book, page 7. So he already delineated that he was born in New York. Number two. Michael Peruka, the gentleman, you may not have known this, running against Mr. Anthony Brown. Michael Peruka, and you can pull up the Sun Papers article from several years ago, is a member of the League of the South, or the Southern League. Those people, when Mr. Obama became president, his group wanted to secede from the union because they didn't like a black man in the White House. And that just tells you generally what Mr. Peruka, who's running for attorney general against Mr. Brown, believes. I think it's called the League of the South or the Southern League. He's a member of that. He'll tell you that he isn't or that he wasn't.
And this,
say that again,
this,
sir.
This is my strong Democratic caller, Theodore. Theodore, you always are going to come strong for the Democrats, okay?
Yes, and
but that's the fact that he's coming with too. I mean, Michael Peruca and Dan Cox have to be the absolute abomination of the Republican Party, and the Republicans should be voting strongly against those two because of what they represent. Because it's
and there's another point.
Go ahead.
There's another point I'd like to bring up too. The young lady who lost by 48 points to Mr. Kwaisi Mfume in 2020, she's a Republican. She doesn't care what Trump does or what they do, taking voting rights away. She votes Republican. She's a talk show host on the other station. I won't mention the
What's the point there?
The point is that when, as the coach was saying, when you look at candidates, you have to look at the points of view that they espouse. And I don't think that people want, as an attorney general, somebody who is against a great majority of the population who doesn't look like him in Baltimore City and throughout the state.
Well, I agree. And as we stated, that the Democrats should be happy because of the candidates that they're running against.
And briefly on the Ravens, this is a very difficult psychological loss. At the same time, it's early in the season. They can put that behind them because 2 years ago they put 59 points up against Miami and won. So sometimes we all get a little beat down in one way or the other. Maybe it's a grade.
No. Let me stop you. Really good teams, don't give up 6 touchdowns in a game. Really good defensive teams don't give up close to 600 total yards. Now, the Ravens are a good team, but defensively, it was illustrated yesterday, they have some issues back there.
Well, that's true. I believe last year, Kansas City, who at that time I believe was the Super Bowl champion, or maybe I'm thinking about a year or two down the road, they got beat by 30, 40 points by a team. So it's a situation where when you get a stomping in a situation like that, it's on the coaches to build the players up so they can overcome the situation.
I agree with that. But once again, when you score 35 points offensively, you should win a game. Okay?
Absolutely. It was a total defensive breakdown.
I appreciate your call, and I just want Baltimore listeners to know that Coach is a rabid Commanders fan.
No, he's not. Coach
available was on the screen.
Coach is an objective football
probably
analyst.
Probably a cat's voice if you live in Sea Pleasant.
No, I'm not. I would never do that. No, I would.
Thank you.
All right, 410-481-1010. Let's see what Steve has to say. Steve, you're up.
Hey, TJ, 3 quick points on the Ravens. On defense, first of all, this is supposed to have been a breakout season for Darfay Owe. In the first 2 games, even against the Jets, he's been a non-factor. He's not putting any pressure on the quarterback. He's not making any impact on defense. Second point, Kyle Hamilton, he seemed very confused yesterday. He seemed to like not really know his assignment because I've seen him putting his hands up in the air in a confused state when Hill was running down down the middle of the field, wide open. And both times when they threw the ball to Hill, he was open by about 10 or 12 yards. Nobody was even close to him. The third and final point is like on offense. If we had been able to kill the clock a little bit in the fourth quarter, the demise would never have happened. But as happened earlier in the game, Lamar could not defend on either the backs that he had in the backfield to get him 1 yard because we got stopped on fourth down and we got stopped at the goal line. And Lamar had tried to run it in 2 times in a row by himself. And then the last time he gave the ball, tried to get the ball to Davis, and he fumbled. And incidentally, Davis has fumbled twice in a limited roles in both games. So there's no way in the world going forward that the Ravens are ready for the Buffalo Bills, the Kansas City Chiefs, and some of the other tougher teams, because a good quarterback, if you get him in the pocket and he's got all day to throw, he will eat you alive. Thank you. Thank you all for the time.
All right.
Thank you. I agree with your point. Good.
Now, 410-481-1010, we have a line available. Infrequent callers, first-time callers, we want to hear from you. 410-481-1010. Your thoughts, DJ?
Yeah, I agree with my. I do think Oway is playing relatively well, setting the edge. We only have two down linebackers playing outside linebackers this year right now. So I think he's playing well. But I think we also had a miscommunication, something you and I talked about at the top of the show. There was absolute miscommunication. Was the safety supposed to be over the top, or was it man-to-man coverage where the cornerback was supposed to be running with Tyreek? So, yeah, it was obvious. But I think one of the things that a lot of Ravens fans will tell you is it's this moniker. We play down to the opponent, and we somehow play up in the big games, and we find a way to win some of these big games that we need to win. That's why they've been a perennial good franchise. So I'm not overly concerned.
Yeah, but again, here you go again, TJ, playing down.
I don't agree with it. That's just the reality.
No. I'm not talking about whether they play down or not. But you are, when you say play down, you are making an inference, so to speak, that the Dolphins are inferior. And I keep telling you, in my opinion, the Dolphins and the Ravens are comparable at the least.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And that might not be the best comparison for yesterday's game, but we have seen the Ravens where they play a game where they should be in total control of it. They look like they're in total control of it, and they let an opponent that they could have their foot on the neck of them get back in it, and that's what happened yesterday. So we've seen it.
All right, let's go to the lines, 410-481-1010. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're up next. Chris, talk to us.
Yes, good afternoon, both of y'all. How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah. The last caller, I definitely was calling in to kind of touch on what he was saying as well. I do agree that the defense takes the bulk of the blame, but as the caller said, I really think our big issue to really be concerned about is the run game. If you look at our stats, we were 3 for 16, 3 rushes for 16 yards. And then on top of that, when you're coming after the second half with the lead, you want to control time of possession. You want to run as much time off the clock. The only way you do that is running the ball, even if you're having the problems with the defense and the other offense is getting hot. What you want to do is keep them off the field. The way you do that is run the ball. We didn't have any run game yesterday, and even our third down conversions were 3 for 10. So, I mean, our time of possession, I think they even won that over 12 minutes. So those things, if we're seeing our defense is having struggles, that's when you step in and do those things. And you don't just continuously let them go back out there and just hope and pray that, one, you know, we'll get a pick this time, we'll get an interception. So you got to step in and help your defense out. On the other point I wanted to make was on the immigration, on the migrants. I think what we need to do, I think we should really take a look at Chicago and watch what goes on there. I just remember seeing an article talking about how the Latino community in Chicago was going against the Latino caucus was going against the Black caucus in Chicago for the number of wards that they were trying to get. They were actually trying to get 16, and the Black caucus was only trying to get them 14. And they end up just taking 14. But the thing that people are already saying that they did that was because they know within the 10 years, when the next census comes, their population is going to be even more. And they're going to be even able to take not just the more wards, but also other benefits as well. So, and also one thing with the migration, we have to always remember, when they're coming in doing the work, they're decreasing the wages of that work. So even the guys, in our community that are blue collar workers and stuff like that, their wages are now going to be able to take a lower wage now to even compete with the migrants that are coming in and getting the work. So we have to remember that as well.
Thanks, Chris.
Good call, Chris. Good call. All right, Chris, leaves a line available. 410-481-1010. Let's go to Sandra. Sandra, you're up.
Good evening, Coach, and your guests. This is my first time calling your show. Congratulations.
Uh-huh.
Coach, you know Baltimore City is a what for the immigrants. What city is this for the immigrants?
I don't know. You tell me.
So you know why they're coming to Baltimore City? Because Martin O'Malley made it for them. Remember that?
Hold on. Oh, what are you talking about? That's not what we're talking about, though. We're talking.
Yes, sir. We were talking about immigrants. So they're coming here.
Wait a minute, Sandra. Listen to him, please.
You're like just completely making up something here. I'm talking.
No,
about
I'm not.
The governors,
no, I'm not.
Yes, because what the governors of the southern states of Texas and Florida are doing are busing and flying in immigrants from their cities.
I know that.
And the question, the question that was posed, should we be welcoming them in for the purpose of helping build parts of the city and helping increase the population of the city?
That's the question. Yes or no?
I mean, this is a haven city, so why not? Martin O'Malley made it that way. They got some in the game, so why not? Why can't they continue to come here?
Well, I don't know. What's your point?
My point is this. They're not going to take nothing that we're not getting, and they will be getting what they want. We don't get nothing because our people don't fight for us, but they have organizations to fight for them.
So, Sandra, you're in favor of them coming, okay? Is that what you're saying?
I ain't got nothing to lose. You know, what's going to take for me?
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Thank you.
And can I want to say one more thing, Coach? Can I say one more thing, Coach? Okay. You're talking about the game, right? I think Amar Jackson forgot who he was playing. Where did Hill come from, Coach? Who's Hill?
Hold on. Lamar Jackson don't play defense. Lamar Jackson has...
No. He got too big. Wait a minute, sir. He got too big for his shoes. He thought that he could play the whole game by himself. He thought he had it made.
Thanks for the call, Sandra. Thanks for the call.
Come with facts.
Thanks for the call.
Lamar Jackson ain't had nothing to do with that loss yesterday.
On this particular show, when you call up, look, we may agree or disagree, that's fair, but when you come up with something that makes no sense, we're going to check you. Now, I know some shows will let you just say what you want to say and they don't, you know, respond. This is different because we owe it to the thousands of other people who are listening who are probably shaking their heads in their cars so that, we have to say respectfully, that's not right. All right,
I appreciate the call, Sandra, but last Monday, after the Ravens won in New York against the Jets in a rainy first game that they had some room for improvement on, that following Monday, Lamar Jackson was in Baltimore City schools reading to kids, and he's normally in areas that some Baltimoreans won't even go to. So let's just remember, when you say too big for his britches, he's down there in the britches, in the stitches, in the trenches.
This is not about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson could not have played a better game. To me, correct, he played a flawless game. All right? And as I said before, I've been watching football a long, long time. TJ, you watched it. You probably played it. And I'm telling you, at the NFL level, you score 5 touchdowns or close to it or more, you're supposed to win.
That's right.
You're supposed to win, okay? And they didn't. All right, let's go to James. James, you're up next. Talk to us.
Yeah, good afternoon. How y'all doing? The reason the Ravens lost that game yesterday is this plainly the secondary. And this is supposed to be one of the best secondaries in professional football. Humphreys, Peters, they talk about them. They've been talking about them for 3-4 years, and they haven't done anything.
I agree, man.
They haven't done anything.
I agree with that.
You know, and I don't understand how these people continue to uplift these guys, and to me, they don't have to show up. Every game, the Ravens are exploited in their secondary. Now, I know the pass rush have a whole lot to do with that, but gracious goodness, man, you don't let the guy get open.
I agree.
So, James, I appreciate the call, and I think one of the things to look at today is the snap count. Marcus Peters wasn't on the field as much as maybe we think, because he is coming off an injury. Yesterday, I believe, was his first game back after he tore something last year, missed a bunch of time as a result. And even Humphrey was on the injury list coming into yesterday's game. There's no excuse because the secondary did not play well. I think there was so much miscommunication and blown coverage where it's beyond any individual player. It's certainly practice and communication is what I definitely saw.
All right, let's go live. Let's go to Gene. Gene, you're up next. Gene, you're on the air. Okay, all right. Let's go to Sean. Sean, you're up.
Hey, Coach. Hey, TJ. First time calling.
Man, that's what we want.
Thank you. Hey, about the game yesterday, by any means, I'm no Raven fan. I'm a diehard Bronco fan. But it seemed to me that secondary was injured. Peters didn't look like the Peters of old. Humphreys was old. And when you do a prevent defense like that, it does everything but prevent touchdowns. Do you agree?
Prevent defense, I used to say, prevent winning.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's my time there. Hey, Coach, I got a question to ask you. Barber talk. Might be off the subject. Muggsy Bogues. We had a conversation cutting hair. My opinion is I think he should be one of the best NBA 75 players. What is your opinion about that?
Well, you know what? I have mixed opinion about it. Is he one of the best 75 players, in my opinion? No. But wait a minute. Okay. Hold on. Okay. But here's the but. I think that you could include him because of what he was able to do. And I don't know if we'll ever see that again. Someone at 5'3", playing in the NBA, and being a dominant player. So, on one hand, if I'm counting, I can count 75 players, in my opinion, that played in the NBA that I think was better. But because of him being a barrier breaker, so to speak, and a trailblazer, I think I could add him to the 75, yes.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. All right, 410-481-1010. We have lines available. And let's see, we got Doc Cheatham out there. Talk to us, Doc.
Well, we definitely got our backsliders and Boeheim's beat yesterday, but I'm going to let folks know who I spent a lot of time watching quarterbacks. That's something that I thought I could do a little bit of. But I don't think many Raven fans know the ability of the quarterback that played against us yesterday. This is one of the most accurate passes I've ever seen. And I'm talking about I've seen quite a few. This guy, even the interceptions that were made, they weren't his interceptions. They were the team players and the hits that were being put on them. What we did not do, and I say it's a coaching problem from yesterday. One, we did not do well in rushing the passer. We gave him too much time. And many folks don't know. The reason why I like this kid so much, he's left-handed. I was a left-handed want-to-be quarterback. They did not understand this boy released very quickly, and he also was very accurate. So we not only need to do something better, we did the time. We made the adjustment on offense, even though I thought we should have passed more to the three tight ends that we got three very good tight ends. But defensively, we did not understand you can't give a very accurate passer that amount of time because he did what he was expected to do. He picked us apart. And that wide receiver, they should have knocked his butt down a couple of times to slow him down because other than that, he was wide open. He was wide open yesterday. And I'm happy to say, Coach and TJ, on Thursday, I do sports predictions. Since Coach and Larry Young aren't doing it on Fridays, I do sports predictions on Thursday on my radio show.
Excellent. Well, you didn't have the Dolphins beating the Ravens, though, did you?
No, sir. Only person I knew, and I would say this publicly, I knew one person that predicted the score and how bad they were going to lose, and you're my friend. His name is Chris Blake.
Oh, yeah. Miami Dolphin fan for life. Thanks, Doc.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. 410-481-1010. We're down to the wire. We have time for a couple more calls. 410-481-1010. But, you know, moving forward, I think the Ravens, my prediction at the beginning of the year, barring injury, that this team could win 11 games. And I still think they can win 11 games. All right, but the question is, come playoff time. And right now, the AFC looks a little stronger than the NFC. Now, things could change, you know, in the coming weeks. But right now, Buffalo looks like one of the best teams, if not the best roster in all of football. And then Kansas City is Kansas City. And then Miami, they staked their claim yesterday. I still think that the Chargers, I do not like the Chargers coach. He makes, in my opinion, some horrible decisions, man. Horrible play calling, horrible decisions.
Well, I'll say this about the Ravens. I don't know that there are many Baltimoreans that want to just simply see them in the playoffs. This is like Super Bowl run, and especially the pressure that
I don't see them as a Super Bowl team.
Contract situation, you know, making the playoffs, winning the division. This has been there, done that territory. People in Baltimore are ready to have another parade down Pratt Street.
Well, you know what? Maybe you have that parade when you vote in a new mayor. Okay, you got a new state's attorney. Maybe you can have a parade for that. Oh, I didn't say that.
I have no idea how we made turn from that comparison, but here we are. But anyway.
Well, hey, we're talking about parades and folks celebrating. And as Martha Reeves and the Vandellas once said, dancing in the street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Kelly has to say. Kelly, you're up.
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
All right, fine. Talk to us.
Yes, I have to go back to talking about the Ravens again. I think that they really do need to help out that get that run game established. They got the passing game. Lamar seemed better than ever as far as the passing. He played a brilliant game. You know what I'm saying?
He did.
But the old running game of 19 and 20 where they set a record. That would have gotten them out of that situation because that's what they were famous for. They would waste up 7-8 minutes in one drive just running the ball, getting a few here and getting a few there. I ain't saying abandon the pass, but I'm saying that's how they played Ravens football, and then they played tough defense. So that would have gotten them out of that situation, I think, yesterday. And when you see Tyreek Hill line up wide, he only out there to do one thing. He is going long. I don't see how the coaches didn't see that. He's going, and he did it to us twice. You know, that
Kelly, they probably saw it, but they couldn't stop it. But you make a great point. What the Ravens always talk about culture. And one of the Ravens' culture is hit you in the mouth, strong defense. And I know people like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and T. Sizzle, they're shaking their heads today saying, what? A Ravens defense gave up close to 600 yards in one game? No way.
No way. Not supposed to happen.
Yeah, they should have knocked Tyreek Hill down at the line of scrimmage a couple of times, but it didn't happen. Bump and run coverage. I was screaming it. Knock him down. Knock him off his X.
All right, thanks, Kelly. But see, for so many years, I saw up close and personal, one of the greatest cornerbacks of all time. You could probably put him definitely in the top five all time. And so I know what good cornerback play is. I know what good cornerback play results are. Because I watched Darryl Green. Mm-hmm. And Darryl Green, you know, other than a Dion and, you know, maybe you go old school with a Night Train Lane, but he's one of the best. All right, but you can't have guys running free like you had last week. And my point is, look, they're going to scheme it up to cover some things, and I doubt if they give up 500 yards again. But, boy,
work to do.
I mean, I don't see a tremendous quick improvement.
Yeah. All right. But we got anybody left before we wrap it up?
Before we wrap it up, do we have time for another caller if it's there? 410-481-1010. But, TJ, I can't believe you want to increase and boost the population by bringing in illegal immigrants. I can't believe that.
One method, and, you know, from a refugee standpoint, if we need to bring in some Ukrainian immigrants as well, if they have skills.
No, man, let's
help rebuild the city. And if they want to call Baltimore home and they want to add to the economy of Baltimore and that helps grow the city, then let's do it. What makes New York City the best city in America? Because of its immigration population and because it's a melting pot of that. And I think that we can learn some things from that and figure out a way to do it and do it legally and do it successfully.
But what about having a city that is so booming in employment and social activities that and housing that people want to move? People with established incomes, people with a high tax base, and people with college degrees. What about that approach?
Sounds good, Coach. Let's form a blue ribbon committee and let's go ahead and research it for the next several years and let the situation continue to be as it is and not actually come up with a plan. And then we rehearse it again 2 years from now because it didn't work. Let's do something now. Get people here working now and get something established that allows us to actually grow the population, also address one of the biggest eyesores in the city that also will help bring people into the city and increase that tax base.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, it's been a great show today, man. Any parting words?
Hey, no, just, hey, have a good week, everybody. Calm down, Ravens fans. Let's go to New England, beat them boys, come back with a big W this week, and pray for the people of Puerto Rico because we haven't heard enough about the big hurricane that hit them this past weekend.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. Check us out next week. And as always, our sponsors, J&W Contracting, A Step Forward, Shooting for Peace, give them some play. And if you want your business heard, you can just notify us and we'll give you a hookup as well. But until then, be blessed, be safe. And as I always say, TJ, make good decisions because life is hard, but it's even harder when you're stupid. I'm out.
Get my sister Sandy and my little brother.